In 1998, Brian and I spent 2 weeks in Egypt. We stayed with a friend who was working out there. Now, at that time, I think maybe that year or the year before, there had been a lot of acts of violence directed against tourists, and actually, there were very few tourists around. And when we went on a trip in the Nile, we found ourselves the only English speakers, and we had a tour guide to ourselves, a native Egyptian man. It was a rare treat for us. One day, while we were visiting temples, the tiniest puffs of cloud appeared in the sky. And that's unusual in itself, in that dry and very hot desert. And then, a few raindrops appeared. We wouldn't even call it a shower. It was so short, and to us, Irish, Scots, whatever, it didn't even count. But suddenly, a tiny, faint, partial rainbow appeared high in the sky. And it was just for the briefest of times. Now, we've lived in either Ireland or Scotland most of our lives. We have seen thousands of rainbows, as you will have too. Some absolute cracker, double rainbows going over the whole sky. So actually, we wouldn't even have really noticed this one, except for the reaction of our tour guide. He was a man approximately our age, I'm not sure round about, and this was his first ever rainbow. He had never seen one before. And his awe, his amazement at this thing in the sky took our breath away. It was so very moving for us to witness the joy in his face at seeing his first rainbow. Now, whether it's a partial rainbow in the sky or new growth, rain is so very precious and welcome in the desert. A little drip of rain, a faint rainbow in the sky, our first in-building meeting for 14 months. A note of hope. My friends, we have been in a desert for such a long time, and today marks the beginning of us beginning to get moving again. Tonight, we are privileged to be a little bit of an oasis. But when we come through this, we will come out into a new place. The new season is not going to look like the old. We're going to come out to something different than we had before. We may be in a bit of a desert still, but Isaiah 35 shows us that there can be hope, there can be rainbows in the desert as well. Now, desert dwellers know how quickly a desert can come to life when rain comes. There are colourful flowers appear, wildlife, all after a quick rain shower. And that sight inspires joy in the hearts of those used to seeing endless mile upon mile of dust and rock. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, is showing the nation of Israel their future. What is to come? The hope, the joy, the life that is yet to come. And they need that because the desert tests our endurance. A desert land can actually stretch a shepherd's ingenuity to breaking point. How on earth do you find pasture and water for sheep and keep them alive? The desert is a forbidding place. But yet, it was in the desert that God forged Israel into a nation for him. During the 40 years that Israel spent in the desert, Deuteronomy 2:7 tells us, the Lord was with them and they lacked nothing. Even if this new diet of manna takes some getting used to, and just like for us, the new diet of online worship took some getting used to. It was in the desert that God humbled Israel, told them that man does not live by bread alone, but by every but from every word that the Lord speaks, again Deuteronomy. And the word of the Lord comes to John the Baptist in the wilderness, and he starts preaching on the need for repentance. And of course, Jesus. Jesus is tempted during 40 days in the wilderness, and he also retreats to quiet places, to the hills, to pray. In other words, the wilderness is part of our experience as God's people. And just as God forged and shaped Israel in the desert, so he has been shaping us for the past 14 months. This wilderness, this desert that Isaiah the prophet tells us about, it's one that rejoices with singing and joy, and it represents more than just a physical desert. It is a picture for us and for Israel of spiritual renewal. For those people, for those of us with a right relationship with God, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, this passage shows us that new life that God has in store for Israel and for you and for me. There is hope, even in the most harshest of desert lands. Israel, they've been in exile for years, for decades. Their bondage has sapped their strength, mentally, physically, spiritually. They're wiped out, they're wrecked. And here God speaks to the prophet Isaiah and tells them to encourage Israel to begin their recovery. Verse 3, strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Tell those who have a fearful heart, be strong, don't be afraid. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, God's retribution. He will come and save you. And this begins to foster hope. The exiled nation of Israel are encouraged to find reservoirs of untapped strength. Keep on, guys, keep on keeping on. There is a brighter future ahead for us, one day at a time. Get ready for it. Prepare. God is with you, Israel. Do not be afraid. And God is with you, White Inch. Do not be afraid. The God who promised to save Israel has also promised to save White Inch. Followers of Jesus know that our eternal future is secure for those who choose to acknowledge Jesus as our Savior, our Redeemer, as our higher power. Moving on to verses 5 and 6. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame man will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing. Here we have more promises by God to his people. And for those who know the New Testament, we know that Jesus fulfills these promises 700 or so years after these words were written. All through the Old Testament, we see echoes, we see hints of Jesus. And we can know when we get to the New Testament that Jesus is the fulfillment of so many promises made in the Old. The Gospels, the four books at the beginning of what we call the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these books are full of the life of Jesus, from his birth, his life and ministry, his death, his resurrection 3 days later, and his ascending up into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. And part of the stories that are told, they contain accounts of Jesus restoring sight to blind people, just like Isaiah said. enabling the deaf to hear, just like Isaiah said, of men able to walk after they were lame for many years, and so many other stories. And if you want to find out more about Jesus, the Gospels are a great place to start. Verses 6 and 7, waters will break out in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool. What a picture that is. And the thirsty ground springs of water. What a beautiful picture of water flowing in the desert, bringing an abundance of life. It reminds me of Ezekiel 47, the water flowing out from the temple. And also Psalm 29, the voice of the Lord is over the waters, the God of glory thunders, which is also a line from an Alan McKinney song I've been listening to in the last couple of days. Oh, that God's glory would reign once more in White Inch. That God's glory would pour out over White Inch like the roar of rushing waters, bringing healing, bringing restoration and justice. Lord, send your spirit out. Water in the desert brings life to dead places. No more burning, no more choking dust. This passage instead paints a picture of a well-watered green land with flowers, grass. And this passage offers hope to the nation of Israel, held in captivity. And for us, it points the way to Jesus as the one who sets us free, who brings us into a fertile and safe place. Jesus Christ, the living water bringing life to a dry, dusty ground. Now, I started by reading Lamentations 3. I spoke about crooked paths blocked with stone. There was just no easy way ahead at all for people. But Isaiah 35 tells us of a highway for us, a way of holiness called the Way. And in the New Testament, the first followers of Jesus were called people of the Way or followers of the Way. Followers of the Way are followers of Jesus. And this verse, verse 8, talks about the Way, Jesus, being a highway. My friends, as we begin to stretch, to limber up, and taste this increased freedom that we have, we remind ourselves that we are walking that highway. And I wonder who else is on it that we can walk alongside and encourage. Shona spoke on Sunday of the men who met Jesus on the Emmaus Road. We know Jesus is on this road. We know Jesus is on this way, walking right alongside us. And so, as we've been asking recently, who are you, White Inch? What are you uniquely called to? You've been invited to consider the question, and I wanted to share some of my observations from talking to you on an individual basis over the past 18 months. You are an amazing, passionate, energetic family of believers who realize you are called to love God, to love each other, and to love your neighbor. And you do that beautifully. As a church family, you have a real heart for worshiping Jesus. And you do that with such real freedom and vulnerability. Do not lose that love. White Inch, you have a heart for people on the margins of society. You invite them to join you. For those in the margins of the society, whether it is those in poverty, the refugee, the asylum seeker, the widow, the lonely, the hurting, those who speak different languages than you do, you invite them into your lives, onto the highway with you, and you love them well. And you have a special heart for the recovery community, those dealing with addictions and all that comes with that. And some of you have spoken to me about your passion for creation. I hear your angst about the climate crisis. God's first call to Adam was to care for his creation, and I wonder what it might look like to care for creation in Whitehinge. Others of you I hear talking about the pain of the mental health of folks around us. And let's face it, everyone's mental health has taken a bashing, a knock, this last 14 months. Living in mental anguish is not living life to the full. Jesus wants more for us than that. How might we be able to join in with those already working in that area? How might we play a part? And others speak about how we can bring about justice in Whitehinge, whether that's related to housing, how can we be involved in combating racism in Whitehinge and in our society as a whole. What about our families, I hear you say, those with children, those young and some not so young, how might we include them so they feel welcome? And some of you are already forming small communities. The Women's Recovery Group, which is fantastic to see you ladies here tonight. Our life groups. And now that there is greater freedom to meet outside, to gather, to support, to pray for each other, to have six all together in the garden or in the park, I encourage you to make the most of whatever the restrictions are at the moment, to gather as pals in a garden or in a park to support one another. For those of you who are privileged to have a little bit of a garden or a patio, then bring people to your patio space. And don't necessarily just include your best pals, your best buddies. Gather as many different people around you as you possibly can. Exclude no one. We are on this way of holiness together. And Isaiah calls it a highway. There is room for lots of us. As Jesus followers, we want to join with others on this highway. And so I encourage you, look around, pray, talk to each other. Who are you walking with that you might maybe show them the way? Who is in your life that needs the hope that comes from the living water of Jesus Christ? God has been alongside us this whole time. He has been faithful, and he will continue to invite us to join him as he increases his kingdom in Whitehinge. Will you join in with him?